What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but winning is winning, and listening to them can create winning. Get it? Ooh, good one. Review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Losing is losing, and listening to the media can create losing. Ooh. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Oh, that's pretty simple, because growing is growing, and listening to the show can create growing. Oh, I like it. And also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Living this life, not always easy. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. You know, I think we can just stop it right there. Hey, everybody, have a great afternoon. God bless you. Make sure you drive safe on the freeway.
Not a clue.
We don't know what we're doing. We're having fun. I mean, I know we're doing that, but I mean, do we know what we're doing? No. Is this professional radio? No. Are we brilliant? No. Do we love people? Yes, that we do. So we don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy. So here you go. Ready? This is a really direct one. Get ready. Going to be challenging. What are we, individually us, what are we afraid of? And have we left this at the foot of the cross? What are we afraid of? What does the enemy use against us that way, since God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind? And have we left it at the foot of the cross? That's just a great question. If you think you want to respond to that, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We encourage you, in fact, to reach out to us and call us. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you take that time and make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, talking to Dynamite D is like finding out that a service that you use and have does even cooler things than you thought it did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you already pay for it. You're already using it. You already, okay, can I get it? And then they're like, oh, we do this too. You're like, yeah, do? Wow. That's what it's like to talk to Dynamite D. Now, we do have somebody on the phone. Do we need to take them right now, or should we wait a little bit? Okay.
Up to you, Dave.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure that everybody knows how to reach us, so we'll do that, then we'll come back to them. So just have them hang in there. If you're on hold, I don't know. Can they hear us on hold? Are they able to hear us? Yeah. All right. Hang in there. Don't go nowhere. All right. Now, also, if you want to reach out to us, you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here comes that semi-professional voice.
214-210-8483.
Yes. All right. Also, you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org. We send you up to the website. Don't forget Murphy Road Baptist Church. I'll be speaking there a week from Sunday. If I've never met you, come meet me. If you've met me before, come meet me again. I'm hoping to see old friends because some of the people come and see me speak. I love it. I love it. Now, I don't have a lot of time to talk before the message, but after the message, I will. Okay? So just be aware of that. So it's like, he's not paying attention to me. Well, you know I'm trying to focus on what I'm going to. Okay. I'm just going to go. You guys know that and just assume that. All right. And then also on the website, a couple other things to tell you. Of course, we've got the contest, which we're going to give a clue today, which will not go on the website. So 5 clues are on the website, 2 to go. You have to listen. You have to listen. And if you're a person that's like, well, I missed the clue, you'll have a shot at it because it'll be on the podcast. I'm just saying. Here we go. Money. Money. That helps the ministry.
God loves a cheerful giver.
God loves a cheerful giver. So when you're giving it, you go, ha, ha, ha. Do it on the website or get the information from the website. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
All right, the clue, and then we're going to go to the caller. The clue, which we're not putting on the internet, so you better listen. The clue is, number 6 clue is, fear not. Fear not. Got that? Okay. All right, now that person who's been on the phone patiently waiting, awesome of them to do so. We're going to have them call, check in right now. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
David, good afternoon, Sergio.
Hey, Sergio, how are you, my brother?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've had a couple of up and down weeks, but this week has been a big turnaround from last week. Last week, a lot of warfare. So this week, I'm feeling better about the whole thing.
That's good. That's awesome.
Yep. What can I help you with, my good and fantastic brother?
Well, thank you so much, David. So it is a question, and it's really more of a progress report and where I'm at. So I'm in Hebrews now because I started in Matthew, to read. And so my question to you is twofold. It's a lot easier to read a chapter in the Bible when it says, I'm going to make this up, the book of Paul to the Ephesians or Peter to the Galatians or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So you know that there's an author. So my question to you is, who wrote Hebrews and why, whenever, God is talking, how come the words aren't in red? And my last question is God actually quoting, is he talking in that chapter of Hebrews?
Okay, so let me make sure I got the questions right, because I don't want to answer you with the wrong answers, okay? Number one, who wrote Hebrews? Number two, when the Lord speaks, is it just in red? Is that right?
When God speaks, not Jesus Christ.
Okay, when God speaks, is it in red? And then number three, give me your third question again.
I think that was it. I forgot, but yeah, that's more or less it, David. And again, go ahead and answer outside of the phone call. And thank you so much for allowing me to draw closer to the Lord every day. Thank you for all you do. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. God bless you, bro.
Likewise.
Okay, so a couple of things to say. So this all has to do with what we call the verbal plenary process of interpretation or understanding. So let me back it up a little. Hermeneutics is the method by which we interpret Scripture and how we apply it, right? So when Scripture is written, it is God's communication to us, and we get from 2 Peter 1:21 as well as a couple other passages that the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, carried the people along, kind of like you would understand that, like, you're on a ride, you're participating in the ride, but you're not the reason the ride is happening, but you're on the ride and you're enjoying the ride. That's how the Lord used people in communicating what he had to say. So one person might look at a Star Wars movie and say it's very sci-fi-ish. Another person might look at a Star Wars movie and say there's a lot of space. Both of those things, by the way, would be correct. but it is has a lot to do with the personality of the person. So I'm just telling you that so you can understand that we have about 40 authors, and they're from all different walks of life who have written the Bible. And for Sergio particularly, this is called bibliology, the study of the Bible, which is one of my favorite topics and one of the most fascinating elements, because you have 40 different authors spanning, you know, a huge amount of time, you know, maybe as much as 1,800 years or whatever, maybe 2,000 years, some argument about 3,000 years. Okay, that doesn't matter. But spending this enormous amount of time, and yet they have the exact same thread from start to finish. In fact, one of the most miraculous things about the Bible itself is that every single prophecy ever portrayed in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament time, and in the New Testament time, it has its fulfillment. In other words, there's never been a non-fulfillment of a prophecy ever, and then there are some yet to come, so we're looking forward to see those fulfilled, especially the second coming of Jesus Christ. However, knowing that, you also only get an amount that the Lord will reveal. So the author of Hebrews is the Lord, because we don't know who the actual human author is. There's tons of speculation. Some people think it's Paul. Probably not. It's a completely different style than all that Paul wrote in all the other letters. And then other people think it could be Apollos or maybe Barnabas, and they don't know why, you know, why that wasn't revealed. And the answer is, and I'm going to give you a big one, get ready, we don't know. I mean, that'll be one of the great mysteries that you get to find out, and people have their leanings, and that's cool, but the Lord didn't reveal it, and that's all there is. So in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belongeth unto the Lord, but the other things he's revealed to us. Certain things the Lord reveals. Why? I don't know. I mean, I really can't tell you. I know everybody comes up with all these different answers. I just think that that's ridiculous. God just didn't tell us. Okay, that's that. But In the process of the book, which it is one of my fave books, one of the reasons that we're teaching it, by the way, and we're in Hebrews today. I just want to point that out. Okay, so when we're done with this, we're going to go into this Hebrews part, and wait till you see it. It's unbelievable. We're going to get into. So now in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the words of Jesus are in red. When God speaks, his words are not in red, or they are not in black, or they are not in any color. I just want to make sure you understand that. The word of God is spoken as an eternal writing in stone that never changes. All of the colors, all of the print, all of that stuff is just preference by man. The red from Jesus didn't come until, I think, about the 1400s. Chapters and verses didn't come in until about 1100 AD. I mean, it's like it's just the span of time. It was all to assist us in the reading process. All of it is God. When Paul says something that he tells you is not a commandment, he goes, this is what I think. It's not a commandment from the Lord, but I think this is a good thing. He tells you that. It's right in the book. So the answer is Genesis 1:1 to the end of Malachi chapter 4, and then Matthew 1:1 to the end of Revelation, so that's 22:21. All of that is the word of God, every bit of it. Is it perfect from one translation into another? It's one of the things I'm going to be teaching coming up. No, it's not exactly perfect, but it is 0.01% different between all of the translations, nothing affecting any doctrine whatsoever. So the entire point in saying this is God wrote the book. It comes back to our same process. God created the universe. He can write a book. What you need to be aware of is that there's a reason not known to us why the Lord didn't say, here's the author here. But the testimony of the book of Hebrews from every first, second, and third century Christian and forward acknowledges the letter of Hebrews as being an authentic letter of the New Testament. So historically, it's got a lot of evidence. We just don't have the author. We do have suspicions. It's all we got. But every word in the Bible is from God. It was men who wrote it, not robotically, but as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And again, a great way to think of that is you're on a ride. Now, you're experiencing the ride, but you're not creating the ride. That is how the men wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Another way you can say it, I think some people have used this before, is it's like a backpack. It's like the Holy Spirit's got the authors are the backpack writing on the back of the Spirit. It's like, okay, whatever works for you, whatever floats for you, that's great. But I hope that's a little helpful. And I will tell you that Hebrews, and we're going to get into it when we come back, is just out. It's just one of my faves. Just so, so good. Especially the Hall of Fame of Faith. Come on. It's incredible. But Sergio, good job reading all the way through, man. That is some excellent work. And once you read it all the way through, you're going to find out the second time you read it, you're going to see a whole bunch more.
That's how it goes.
All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
All right, Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. This was the first psalm that was read to me when I went to Bible college, the very first class I ever took in Bible college, a bazillion years ago. Let me just say that. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their suffering. Here is something to consider that will be just absolutely a mind blower. How should you and I respond if the earth falls out of its rotation? Okay, so my brother-in-law works for JPL and is actually one of the people that helped write the program that helped land the Mars rover on Mars. He helped write the computer programming, okay? He's much smarter than me in those realms, okay? About my age, a little younger, about my age. Very, very intelligent guy, right? And he's the one I always make a joke, you know, what keeps the earth, you know, rotating. And so you'll hear me say that it's on a perfect 23.5 degree, rotation from the moon and from the exact rotation from the sun, or it's three mice chasing a piece of cheese in a wheel, one of those two. So the idea behind that and that whole story is the earth is in this absolutely perfect rotation with the moon and the sun, and without it, the earth would go through a free fall. Just even a half a degree off, it's over. It's all over. I mean, there'd be instant tidal waves. Everything would just be upside down. And if that ever happened, you know, you would know that's the end, although that's not how the end's going to happen. We already know from Scripture. But here's what the psalmist is saying. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if your world seems like it's upside down. It doesn't matter if it's out of rotation. It doesn't matter if the mountains fall into the sea. It doesn't matter if the waters roar. God is a refuge, and a refuge is a shelter in a storm. You would first think of a lean-to. That is what a shelter in a storm is. So when it's raining, you find a lean-to, you put something on a tree, you put it against something else, and you get under it so you're away from that. And it says that God is a refuge, a strength, an ever-present help, which means he's helpful today, not just when it's all settled in eternity. And there lies a problem for some Christians is they keep thinking, well, in the sweet by and by, everything will get worked out. Well, that is true, that everything will be completely worked out in the sweet by and by. But God is an ever-present help, which means for today and not just for tomorrow. And then the position of the psalmist is, therefore, in other words, it's a conclusion. So God is our refuge and strength, okay? So he's our lean-to in a storm. He's our ever-present help. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid.
The David Spoon Experience.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Let me give a quick little update on what I was just sharing about the red and so on and so forth. So chapters and verses. Chapters came about the early 1500s. Just did a quick review on that. And then the verses, in theory, came between 5 and 50 years later. The red letter edition where it's Jesus speaking, where you see red in it, okay? And by the way, when you see red in your Bible, that's past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Usually that refers to directly to Jesus who's speaking, Okay, but it's the same authority as the stuff that's in the black. There's no difference there. It just gives you a distinction. That came about in the mid-1800s to the late 1800s. So it was a little later than I thought on both of those. That's my fault. But that's part of learning and part of growing up and, you know, figuring stuff out, if you catch my drift. And what's unbelievable is the text that we're about to do is so good that it, and it's, where is it? It's in Hebrews. So we're gonna go right into that text because we got 5-6 minutes in this segment. It's already blowing by as fast as it can be. Let me check with D. Where are we at, D? Are you just caught on the phone there? Is that what's going on? Okay, he's got up on the phone. Can't do much about that. Let's just go right into the text. I want you to be aware of where I'm picking this up from. We covered it a little bit yesterday, but I didn't, or last week, but I didn't get into the depth of it. And I just want to make sure that we do it. And we are going to pick it back up from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, which says, "Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so you won't grow weary and give up. In struggling against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." Verse 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons." So let's just understand something from the text. This is going to be super, super hard for some people. Love is not a fuzzy feeling. That's what you call it when you fall in love, the romantic love, okay? Love is caring enough to say no. Love is not the absence of correction or discipline, quite the opposite. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And if your child's going to touch a hot stove, you are the one that has to say to your child, "Stop, don't do that." You see what I'm saying? Like, just don't do that. That's love. And so here's what you get in Hebrews, which is like amazing, but just listen to this, you'll get it, right? "You've forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you." So here it is, the word of encouragement. This is God patting you on the back. He's saying, this is an attaboy, attagirl for every one of us. And here's what he says. Don't forget this word of encouragement. Whoa, I can't wait to see what that word of encouragement is. "Son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline." When the Lord disciplines us, when we go through the process, when we get rebuked, when things are like, you can tell the Lord's changing and altering and making you and I grow up, that process is absolutely priceless because it proves you're a child of God. Man, you want assurance of your salvation? Does the Lord challenge you, rebuke you, reprove you, alter the direction you're going? That is the proof that you are a child of the Most High God. It's so amazing. People are like, "Well, I never get disciplined by the Lord." Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What do you mean you never get disciplined? What are you talking about? You have to be disciplined. Because even in verse 7 and 8, it says, "For what son is there that a father does not discipline? If you're without discipline, which all receive, then you're illegitimate children." If you don't get rebuked by the Lord, if you don't get challenged, if you don't get, you know, "Hey, you got to do this different." Hey, if you don't have the Holy Spirit challenging you and rebuking you, then there's a problem. But when you do have that and you're feeling like, "I feel kind of pouty because the Lord's doing it," I get it, but it's also encouragement because the Lord is saying, "I love you. I love you enough to change what you're doing in your life. I love you enough to go stop that. I love you enough to say, start this." And so in verse 7, it says, "Endure suffering as discipline." Nobody wants to hear that. Well, what do you mean? You're trying to tell me that suffering is a form of discipline, and their juxtaposition, that discipline, proves that he loves me? Yes. In fact, I'm not trying to say anything. God is saying it. And in verse 10, he goes, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines for us for our good. God's discipline in your life, God's challenge in your life, God's rebuke in your life, God's moment where he hits you in the head with a 2x4 in your life is for your benefit. It's for your prosperity. Because he is trying to help you and I get to a better place. The most challenging part is to understand that that which the Lord does in our lives that we get stung by, that hurts, that frustrates, that process we go through in the Lord is at the same time encouragement by the way that the Lord is saying to you, I'm so committed to you, I will tell you when you're doing wrong. I will tell you when you're doing right. I will correct you. I will rebuke you. I will chasten you because I will not let you go down the wrong path. That, my friends, that, my brothers and sisters, that's what real love is. Not the way the world says love is. That is what real love is. The eternal commitment to our well-being. That's love. Get it? All right. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay. Makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.